Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Local, where we discuss local issues in our communities. I'm your host, Dumema.
And I'm your co-host, Lidja. Today's topic is toxic masculinity, so our discussion will be more conversational and opinion-based. Even before we had talked about this topic and did some research on it, personally, I'll be very honest, I was not familiar with this topic at all. Whenever I thought of toxic masculinity, I was always like, it's a bad thing. We don't need to discuss about it. It's fine. But then when we did some more research and I was looking into some articles and whatnot, the concept of toxic masculinity is used in academic and media discussions of masculinity to refer to like certain cultural norms that are associated with harm to society and to men themselves. This is the part that really shook me. I was like, wait, men themselves? Because I think a lot of times, because I can't be the only person who thinks this, that this is a concept that affects men more than women themselves. Because, you know, a lot of times we're like always thinking that, oh, why can't we give more attention to women? Because women are affected by all, and it's true, women are affected, but in a lot of cases, because this is like a very interconnected issue and it leads to other problems as well. But at the same time, I think the fact that affects men the most is what is really interesting to me, because I never thought of it like that. So
yeah, I mean, I saw it like it affects men, and that's how it affects women, through men. They're trained with toxic masculinity ideas, and then when they act upon those ideas and their behaviors change based on their mentalities, that's when it starts to affect women and children and everyone else in our whole society. And it's
exactly,
just, you know, domino. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a generational stereotype of men portrayed as like socially dominant, which leads to issues such as sexual assault and sexual violence. And later it leads to other problems with involving women. And that's when it becomes an issue. I think a lot of times when we think of toxic masculinity, we always think of women rather than men themselves, because eventually it does affect women, but we don't realize that it affects men first, then women, sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's an interconnected concept, and just like I misunderstood it, I think a lot of other people misunderstand as well, and which is why it's important to talk about it. What are your thoughts on it though? Like,
yeah, well, I just want to say, I think that, you know, some men also think that toxic masculinity is an attack on them.
It's
not.
Yeah.
Right? It's just trying to point out that, you know what, this happens. And this affects a lot of men's mentalities, unfortunately, which affects their actions and how they act towards other people. And we're just trying to help. It's like, it reminds me of the whole defund the police thing and how police officers saw it as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then when you really look into it, it's just there to help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a lot of times it's the aspect of ownership. Like, you have to understand that it is a problem, and unless until you take ownership that it happens, yes, there are many, like, even in my surroundings, there are many guys and many men around me that really challenge this toxic masculinity aspect of society. But you also have to acknowledge the fact that there are people, or like men, who don't see it like that, who don't see this as an issue, and that's the actual issue, basically, right?
Yeah, that's also an issue. Like, when I think of toxic masculinity, I immediately just think of how I've always noticed men and women, or male and female characters, being portrayed in the media. And especially growing up, I read like a lot of, you know, books. So from my observations, it seems like male authors can never really write strong female characters, or when they say they do, they've just written about masculine women. And it's because anything or anyone feminine is seen as weak, whereas the more masculine a character, the stronger they are. So this is kind of going away from focusing on men, but focusing on women a little bit here. For a woman to be considered strong or on the same level as a man in the media, she has to be portrayed as masculine and despise anything slightly feminine. So, for example, from my observations in movies, whenever they've tried to portray a strong female character, she is always seen as cold-hearted, really serious. She's hated makeup, hated dressing up, all that stuff. And I just think this is another example of toxic masculinity in our media and literature. And we'll look at how this affects male characters in a negative light as well.
You know, now that you mentioned that, it actually reminds, since I'm a huge fan of anime and I watch like a lot of them, and this just reminds me, if anyone here has watched it, like, is an anime called Attack on Titan.
Oh my god, I love that.
I absolutely love the female lead character. It was like, I think her name is Mikasa. And I always loved her because she was always so strong. She always knew what to do. And she was always like the person who was more noticed in the show. And it was because of her strong abilities. But now it makes me question, was it really the fact that I loved her because of like she was portrayed as a really strong character, or like she was portrayed more of like, you know, those masculine qualities? But it's a very controversial topic, and a lot of times, even if you try to understand a lot of these aspects from different perspectives, there's always going to be this thing in your head, always like thinking, maybe I'm not saying the right thing, maybe there are people who can counter me on this topic. It's a whole swirl of perspectives, and it just makes me think, like, are there books or like female characters that I've always, like, you know, looked up to, and I'd be like, wow, this is one heck of a female lead. But at the end of the day, we're like, is it more of a female lead or more of a portrayed female lead with masculine aspects? And I think a lot of times we tend to associate emotions with feminine, if that makes sense. A lot of times I think whenever we say emotions, we portray it with women, and that's a problem. Like, you emotions are human aspects, and human, hello, it's a man too, right? So it's embedded in our society to the point where even if you try to think very critical of it, a lot of times it's really hard to do that.
It is. And like, I just thought of the example, like growing up, I always read Rick Riordan's books, his, I loved his Percy Jackson series, Heroes of Olympus, that kind of stuff. And throughout middle school, I was like, oh yeah, this book, this got strong female characters. You know, this is a great series. And then by grade 8, 13 years old, I start to realize, wait a minute, these characters, these aren't strong female characters. You know, these are actually really horribly, poorly written characters. And then when I would tell people this, they would say, well, Mima, what the heck are you talking about? Like, I think Annabeth, for example, if anyone's read the book, is really strong. You know, she seems to know how to use a knife and a sword and fight and go on the battlefield. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not what a strong character is. A strong character is someone with a good background story, right? Or like a good history, a good depth, an individual personality that does not rely on the existence of another person. You know what I mean? A strong character is there for the sake of being there. And it's just, when there were female characters in Rick Riordan's books, they were seen as masculine. They hated anything feminine. None of them liked wearing makeup. They all, in fact, they tried to go against feminine norms. I know there was one character, she purposely cut her hair horribly to not look pretty or to not look feminine. And I thought that was the weirdest thing. And yeah.
Oh my God. No, you know what? Oh my God. This is insane, because I actually watched an anime exactly like that. And the girl, so all the girls used to hate her because she was all pretty and all the guys liked her.
Yeah.
So rather than, you know, owning up to it and be like, no, this is me, and you can't change the way I look, I just look pretty just as it is, sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Rather than doing that, she ended up eating a lot. It portrayed that, like, she eats a lot as like a guy. And the fact that she started like a very messy and ugly bag, and she used to dress really horribly. And I'm just like, and she ended up changing all that just because she ended up liking a guy, and she was like, I'm gonna become pretty for him now. Like,
what?
You know what? And it's really weird, but the fact that I actually loved that anime, and now that I think about it, it's like, whoa. What I'm trying to say here is, like, there are so many things that we come to love, and then you start thinking critically of topics such as these, and you're just like, has my whole life been a lie? Have I always been like this? Because,
yeah, like, wait a minute, what? Like, exactly. Now, like, you're thinking back about these things, and you're like learning about new things, and now you're applying it to everything you've known and loved, you know?
Right. And now you're just thinking, wow, this thing has been so embedded. Like, it's been coming from generations and generations to the point where now it's become a part of you, and you're just like, and when you try to critically think, it messes with your head. Right now, this topic is messing with my head. So it's weird, but it is what it is. And I think if you don't mention it, just because it's a difficult topic to even talk about, I don't think it's ever gonna, you know, be solved or like be discussed or thought more critically of.
Right. So all the female characters in Rick Riordan's books, they knew how to, you know, use a knife or a sword or fight or whatever, but none of them had that depth that was independent of the existence of a man that was there. You know, they were always obsessed with, or a part of their personality was related to them being emotionally attached to a male character, even though that male character did not share that same connection or part of their personality with that woman or with that female character. And the thing is, the one female character in that whole series that was feminine, wore makeup, dressed feminine, you know, did all these feminine things and was open about her like for men, but basically she died on the battlefield because she didn't know how to fight. And I thought that was just a horrible death because it gave such a bad image to little girls that if they were to wear makeup and wear high heels, they have to choose one or the other. It's either dress like a man, be masculine, do masculine things and fight, or wear high heels, makeup, and then shut up and sit down and do nothing. And you're like, why can't you do both? Why can't a girl wear makeup, wear lipstick and high heels and use a sword and a knife and whatever?
I wish our viewers could see my expressions right now, because as you were talking, you were seeing how bad of a face I was making, because it's, when you think about it, it's horrible. And I think our society and our generation is really tackling this issue, because I've seen, you know, even on social media and on TikTok, women who are really strong, and they portray not strong as in like either fighting or whatnot, but strong as like a very emotionally strong.
Right.
They know how to deal with their emotions. They wear makeup, they dress up, and they're out in the field, and they're portraying a very good side of women. But I think it's our movies and shows and books that are so indulged in having to write these kind of characters, because children, they grow up watching such shows and reading such books, and that's when they're developing that mindset. And then when you come to question these things later in your life, then you start to think like me, am I like, has my whole life been a lie? Stuff like this. Because if you're not developing their mindset from an early age through these shows and through these books, they're always gonna think that this is a normal thing. That's the real issue of this. I think writers and show directors, they need to realize what they're portraying, because a lot of times what I've heard people say in this field is, oh, that's what the audience want to see. No, audience will see what you show them.
Right.
Because little kids are not going to question you. Little kids are not going to question you and be like, what are you showing us? This is not right. Like, no. And a lot of times adults don't even question this. So.
Right. I just could not read any, you know, Rick Riordan books after that. The message those books were sending was so horrible. It was so horrible. And whenever I tell people that, they think I'm being like a feminazi. I'm not being a feminazi. Like, it's, you have to look like it's, I'm not making stuff up. Like, this is literally the message they're sending in these books. Anyways, tying this back to men, though, and, you know, how toxic masculinity affects them. You know, there was another observation of characters in books regarding masculinity. And this isn't my observation. Someone actually said this to me last year. And I thought this was just a really good thing that he noticed. I was like, wow, I never thought of that, but you're so right. He said that whenever an author describes two male characters together and they show any basic level of affection to each other, like any level, they always end up in a romantic relationship of some sort. There cannot be that two men love each other platonically in the media. Like, it always has to turn to romance. By the way, the book we were talking about was They Both Die at the End, if anyone's ever read it and maybe has noticed this as well. Or, you know, a lot of people love that book for the romance. But in our opinions, me and the guy whose opinion I'm talking about, we didn't really like how it turned into a romance so fast, because the author was focusing on how there was this platonic relationship with between these two men, then at the very end, when they said they loved each other, we were like, oh, that's really cool how men are finally being able to be open about their feelings and say, hey, I love you as a friend, platonically. This narrative just further pushes the idea that affection is feminine when it's not, yeah. and that male affection is gay when it's not, and that anything feminine in a man is a sign of weakness, which is just not true. You know, and there's all these traditional stereotypes. So it's just, it just sucks a lot how in the media and in the literature, it's just no gender benefits, right? The female characters are portrayed as horrible. Male characters are portrayed as horrible. Then everyone in between, I'm sure they get sucked in the loop of this horrible writing yeah. as well. You know, because I know that not everyone identifies.
It's honestly a very downward spiral. This is continuation of all the horrible things keep going on and gone, and it goes down the drain at one point. Honestly, I think a lot of times in our society, even things I've seen around, even though our society and our generation tends to challenge this concept a lot, I'm not sure if I'm the only one who's noticed this, or like if I what our viewers think, but a lot of times I think whenever a man tries to portray emotion or any sort of quote-unquote feminine feelings,
right, or
you're
affection.
You're seen as gay. When you say this is gay, like, you're not only offending people who identify as gay, but you're also offending, like, a lot of other people. You know, there was one time, I don't remember when it was or who said this to me, but they were talking about the girl that they like. The guy was talking about the girl that he likes, and he was being so, you know, oh my gosh, she's so cute, and I think I'm not gonna be able to live without her and whatnot. And the other guy had gone, you're acting like a girl. And the fact that they had to portray how they feel, telling other people or even guys, they're like, you know, how they say they're boys, how they feel about a girl is a very feminine thing. Like, talking about your feelings portrays a very feminine thing. Like,
yeah, that's just messed up on its own. Yeah, how else is
I might not even be explaining this perfectly, but it's so confusing in my head as well, because like, if you can say that just because a guy talks about his feelings and how he feels about the girl he has a crush on, and you're saying that it's a very feminine thing, are you saying that guys are not allowed to talk about their emotions?
No, like,
that's when the problem starts, because you know how we said that it generally affects men. The concept of toxic masculinity affects men in general. That's what it is. Like, you're telling them that they're not allowed to talk about their emotions. And then when they're not allowed to talk about such a simple thing, such as liking a girl, what's going to happen when they deal with issues, such as like depression or like anxiety? When they talk about that, are you going to say like, that's such a girly thing? Why would you talk about your problems like that? Like, what?
Yeah, no, like, sorry, I keep smiling, because, like, I'm thinking of, like, fellas, is it gay to show emotion? Fellas, is it gay to like women and talk about that? Like, what the heck? You know, like, it's not. Like, it's completely normal. And, I mean, not to say that it's wrong to be gay, it's just that it's homophobic in general to just, like, say random stuff is gay in a bad sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, but if it was, what's the big deal? But also, it's not, because it's every human. Okay, so putting our opinions aside, so there's one good source that I found that is available to men looking to help fight against toxic masculinity is actually based in Ontario. So it's called White Ribbon. It's an anti-violence organization from Toronto. And it engages men in conversations as well as events to raise awareness on gender-based violence and the role of masculinity in this violence. Another resource from Ontario, actually, is called White Ribbon. It is an anti-violence organization based in Toronto that engages men in conversations and events to raise awareness on gender-based violence and the role of masculinity in this violence.
And, you know, speaking of Ontario, there's something that I found that almost One in five women experience sexual assault while attending a post-secondary institution in Canada. It's surprising because these are only the ones that are reported statistically or were researched upon. And we know that the numbers are usually higher than what is to be reported. And it just makes you think that the attitudes and behavior that condone and even lead to sexual assault or violence aren't developed in isolation. Historically, they've been part of ways that boys and men in our society have been raised. And just as toxic masculinity isn't developed in isolation, it can be changed in isolation. So I really want our audience to focus on this concept, because something that is not developed in isolation can also not be solved in isolation. And this is why we need to have people be more aware of this topic, because if it's not mentioned, if it's not recognized, it will never be solved, or people won't even think about it critically. And I think we need to acknowledge the fact that, and I have said this before, that there are many men and young boys that completely break the stereotype by showing their feelings or supporting women. They don't even see dominance and strength as masculine traits taken on by women, rather a human developmental trait. And I think we need to really recognize this aspect, because if we don't recognize it as a society and as individuals, I don't think that this will be talked about in a more normalized manner. Because men having to take this as a threat really shows you that they don't even realize what we even talk about, what this concept is even all about. So when a person who actually knows, not me, because I'm still learning, but a person who talks about this concept, they tend to take it in a very negative aspect, and they don't, rather than learning, they take it as like, oh, society's trying to threaten us or don't understand our point of views. And I think one of the biggest aspects, I'm not sure, Emma, if you've seen it, I'm sure like some of our viewers might have seen it, but there's this trend on TikTok where
TikTok.
No, like, and it's amazing how people actually condone with it and actually go along with this trend without even realizing what they're doing. These couples, the women would record themselves, their significant other is cuddling with them, and they're all cute and, you know, being all sweet and whatnot. And as soon as they see a camera on their face, they're like, oh, all masculine and all strong, and oh, I don't have any emotions. It's mind-boggling to me, because I'm just like,
that's so cringy.
Yeah, so you're telling me you having to portray your emotions on camera is like, it's seen as a bad thing almost. Because, and I know a lot of people say that, oh, it's just a trend and whatnot. No, but you have to realize what this trend is portraying. And even if it's not true, like, you know, even if they portray their feelings out in the open, but you have to see what they're portraying on social media, because that's what it's seen, right? Even if they don't mean it, that's what it's showing. So
yeah, I feel like this ties back to what we were saying earlier about the presentation of men and women in the media and in literature. And it's just, even though like something can come off as simple as a children's book or a TikTok, right, trend or something like that, there's always some sort of message behind it. And it takes a while to realize, wait a minute, what's this really saying? Or what does this show? And when I haven't seen a single video, so I'm just, you know, basing this off what you're telling me now, but it seems like I just want to know what the comments are saying. Are other people also finding this cringy like me? Because that's so weird, you know, like imagine like switching yourself for the camera like that's so cringy. Just be yourself, you know what I mean? And it's not feminine or weird to be affectionate as a man. And I think men should be more affectionate. It's like, who are they trying to impress? What are you trying to do? And this is why we're saying that toxic masculinity affects men the most, because literally, what are they trying to do? Especially if they're already in a relationship. It's not the fact that they're trying to impress other women, because they're already in a relationship. I'm talking about those TikTok. Why are they deepening their voices then? It's not for other women or men or whatever. They're not trying to attract other people. They're trying to come off a certain way. And that's toxic. You know, just be yourself, right? And it's sad to see that men are kind of forced into this mindset. It's not them that develop it on their own. It's what their society has conditioned them to believe, that, oh, well, when other people, like, I can be vulnerable with my girlfriend or boyfriend, but when other people see me, I have to deepen my voice, or I have to, you know, act a certain way. And that leads to another resource that we have here for you in Ontario. So this program is called the Man-Made Program. It's based in London, Ontario, and it offers men the opportunity to engage in conversations about vulnerability, consent, relationships, and sexual violence. Actually, Western University has collaborated with the Man-Made Program to provide students with similar workshops as part of Western Student Experiences Health and Wellness Program. For an educational institution to partner with a program like this is actually a really good idea, and I honestly love to see this. But regarding our own educational institution, according to a survey done, published in Maclean's article from 2018, Canadian universities are failing students on sexual assault. Compared to 20 other universities, Laurier ranked third for highest in sexual assault. This is because nearly one in three Wilfrid Laurier University students had reported an instance of sexual assault within the past year at the time that the survey was conducted. Mm-hmm. Laurier was actually ranked fourth highest among the same 20 universities in sexual harassment. There is actually a 69.4% prevalence rate of sexual harassment on Laurier's campuses. Across other universities, 64.7% of sexual harassment perpetrators were other students, and 81.3% identified as male. So the stats are saying that, yeah, obviously other genders can also commit crimes within the scope of sexual violence. You know, they can do that as well and sexually harass and sexually assault. But a good chunk, the majority, identified as male. Could this be related to toxic masculinity?
I honestly think that, not to address your question, but my mindset had always been like, everything that happens in our life is a reaction of something. For this to happen, for these numbers to occur, it's a reaction of something. And what is that something? In my head, I think that something happens to be toxic masculinity because that's how they've been raised.
Right. Like, I don't want to sympathize with people who commit sexual violence.
I'm not saying that they're right for doing it. I'm saying, look at the reason why they're doing it, because this needs to stop happening. And for this to start happening, you need to look at what's the difference. What can we do to stop this from happening?
Right. Like, I agree with you there. Like, we should be looking at the root cause, which is toxic masculinity. And, you know, honestly, toxic and abusive mentality is actually that we ingrain in our young men. So when they grow up from these mentalities, they adapt toxic and abusive behaviors that result in them committing crimes.
What they do is wrong and it should not be happening. But what I'm trying to say is that let's look at why they're doing it, sort of thing.
Yeah, I understand your point. A lot of people like to misrepresent the statistics. So when we just said that of the sexual harassment perpetrators across universities, almost 80% identified as male, we're not saying that 80% of students that identified as male are sexual assault perpetrators. Obviously, we know that there is a significant portion of people who identify as men who are normal in the sense that they do not commit crimes within or of sexual violence themes. This is something that more men need to be looking into, because it seems like a lot of people just assume that it's not for men. But most men are victim to toxic masculinity. And some of those men that are victim to toxic masculinity go out and commit crimes of sexual violent nature. Moving on, there's also a 27.2% prevalence rate of stalking on Laurier's campuses. Across other universities, 47.1% of stalkers were other students, and 83.3% identified as male. Yikes. Despite these horrific statistics, Laurier has been doing a lot for sexual violence prevention and support among students, to be honest. For example, there are many resources available on Laurier's gendered and sexual violence prevention and support page, which can easily be found on their official website through the wellness and recreation page. And I would also highly recommend that students check out the Instagram page that Laurier has, Consent is Golden. Up there, they have some really good stuff that everyone should take a look at and quickly on their phone, just scroll through or give them a follow or something.
All right, so that's all that we have for today on our discussion about toxic masculinity.
Thank you to everyone listening. We hope everyone's gained something from this conversation, whether it be learning something new or having something to think about for the next week.
Don't forget to follow our Instagram account at Let's Talk Local. That is let's.talk.local. Good evening, and until next time.